Economists love to complain that politicians don't pay enough attention to economic incentives when they write laws. Our Planet Money team hears this criticism so often that it's taken to asking economists, how would you run things? Well, today, Hannah Jaffe-Walt introduces us to an economist who is trying to run his own economically pure society, his family.
The first opportunity Joshua Gantz had to test the power of economic incentives in a controlled environment came when his daughter Bea was 2. Joshua is an economist, an expert in incentives, talks about them all the time in the classroom at the University of Melbourne. So his daughter Bea was 2 and in diapers. Joshua wanted her not to be in diapers anymore. Bea was perfectly happy with the system that existed. So Joshua designed an incentive. Bea would receive a jelly bean every time she went to the toilet. New policy in place, Bea suddenly had to go to the toilet a lot. A few years later, her brother needed to be potty trained, and Bea, who is now 11 years old, jumped into the incentive system once again.
Oh, I remember that.
You want to say what happened when your brother was toilet training?
Well, I realized that if I helped my brother go to the toilet, I would get rewarded too. So I realized that the more that goes in, the more comes out. So I was just feeding my brother buckets and buckets of water. And yes.
That was my idea. It didn't really work out too well.
As Bea grew up, Joshua faced a new problem. She wanted things. Yo-yos, candy. She went on a tear about needing some Heelys, those shoes with wheels on them. So Joshua began to think about a new economic tool, allowance. Parents generally use allowance in 2 ways: as a reward for services provided, such as using the toilet, or, say, washing dishes or making the bed. Joshua had ruled that way out after Bea pumped her brother full of water. So the second approach to allowance is to use it as a tool to teach kids budget constraint. Joshua told Bea, okay, anything you want that is non-essential, you buy it with your own allowance.
However, that just doesn't quite occur. A child comes forward with a very nice dress that she's found in a store, and we think, oh, we agree that's nice as well, and all of a sudden the credit card's out.
If she comes forward with a dress that you don't like, then it has to go to the allowance.
Ones we don't like, then it's far more likely to go straight to the allowance.
But that seems like that gets in the way of the idea of teaching budget constraint, right? If you have arbitrary rules about what you have to pay for yourself and what your parents pay for.
It is very difficult indeed.
This, it turns out, is a problem governments in a free market face all the time. People in society want things leaders don't always like, things that harm the environment, things that are bad for society, like drugs or candy. Bea tells me her dad has a rule about candy.
If you want to buy candy with your allowance, you have to pay to your parents and 100% health tax.
Just as Joshua subsidizes dresses he likes, he taxes candy. He tried to calculate how much Bea's candy consumption would add to his health costs, for instance, increased dental visits, say, and he landed at 100%. It's a pretty hefty tax, but you know what? It worked.
That's it. I've earned no revenue from the health tax whatsoever, which is a bit of a shame, because this might have been a way to claw back the enormous allowance that she's getting.
You've never paid the health tax?
Never. I realize, well, that's just a ripoff. Why would I want the candy then?
Of course, just as people evade government regulation by crossing state lines for cigarettes or fireworks, Bea can go to her grandmother's for tax-free candy. Economists call this leakage. Parents can design their own rules, but the scarce resource of a parent, and governments for that matter too, is attention. 2-year-olds seem to have unlimited time to figure out how to use regulation to their benefit. That's something they share with, say, bankers.
When it comes down to it, the policies need constant adjustment. It's actually an issue of management rather than just setting the parameters correctly.
Joshua, still an economist and a parent, remains faithful to the idea of incentives driving behavior. But he's a little more wary about his ability to use them to get what he wants. Hannah Jaffe-Walt, NPR News, New York.